Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Are we about to witness a coming-of-age season for one Bronco with big expectations?
Can I guess?
Of course.
Noah Fant?
Noah Fant. Noah Fant.
Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if there was another option, so I think it was pretty easy.
Teddy Bridgewater just delivering him the football. Six receptions, 62 yards, over 10 yards a catch. Had that long of 25, I believe it was in the first half. Noah Fant, by the way, will be on this show tomorrow.
Huh?
Yes.
We're running it back?
You know if you checked your email.
Oh.
Noah Fant show returns to the Stokely.
2.0?
That's right.
We got it?
Returns to the Stokely and Zach time slot. I believe that
Love
will
it.
Be at 12:30. So
love it.
I'll put it out there on social media maybe later today or tomorrow, field some questions from some fans, have some fun with it. But thankfully, you know, there was all too many Tuesdays or Mondays, whenever we used to do it with Noah last year, where it was a very somber tone. Like, how can we find the silver linings?
Right.
After a day like yesterday, now it didn't light the world on fire. Wasn't Kittle or Kelce, but six receptions, 62 yards. You string enough games like that together, you're well over a 1,000-yard receiver here.
Yeah, and he had some nice key plays there. You know, some third down conversions. Look, that's where the money's made over the middle of the football field for a guy like him. Moving the chains, catching those four-yard passes and turning to eight-yard gain. Just doing those little things like that. And I thought he did a great job yesterday. Six receptions on eight targets. There was two guys, Zach, that we both thought that would reap the benefits from Teddy Bridgewater being the starting quarterback.
Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy.
You're on it. You actually, paid attention. And remembered it. Wow.
Hey.
Wow. On a Monday? And you're just taking your first sip of coffee? Wow.
A lot of credit goes to Zach.
Here we go.
Thank you, George.
There we go. But we really thought those two guys would reap the benefits of having Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we saw yesterday what Teddy can do and what he can do for the guys around him. And both those guys, right? Both those guys, we saw the benefit of having Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback. Just getting the ball out quick.
Yep.
Finding the right guy. Delivering it on time.
Doesn't have to be home run plays.
Nope.
This is Noah Fant after the football game when asked, what was the key to his success?
I just find an open space, honestly. Was able to get a couple passes in the middle of the field. Wish I would have connected with the one with Teddy down the sideline. But, yeah, just find open space and kind of trying to make plays. So
that was his worst throw. That was the worst throw. You're looking for like one throw and I forgot about it.
Oh, he threw it off the DB's back, right?
Yeah.
Like hit him in the helmet or the back.
Schemed up play. He went from the left, Noah Fant was on the left playing the tight end position and he goes, drags across the field towards the right, like at 4 or 5 yards. It looks like it's just going to be a natural drag route, just a normal jag route across the field and that's it. And then he turned it up the sideline. Nice design of a play from Pat Shurmur and Teddy just didn't get it out there. Just didn't get it out there for him. It would have been a big, big game.
Good call.
That was the one play. That,
yeah.
And I forgot about that one.
Yeah, same. When I said there wasn't any negative plays from Teddy, yes.
That was it. Got to find a way to complete that pass if you're Teddy Bridgewater. But certainly, that's what Noah brings to the table. I mean, he's got the speed. He's got the size. And hopefully this thing just continues between those two. But he's a weapon. He's a weapon to have out there because of it's just – those tight ends that are big and fast. They're hard to cover.
And he was dealing with an injury leading up to game number one. This is him on that topic after the game.
I was pretty confident. Everybody was kind of in a fret about, like, my knee and all this other stuff. But, yeah, I felt good. I mean, the training staff did a good job with me, just kind of limiting me through the week and making sure that I didn't go too far on it. And it felt good in the game, man. So, feeling good. I'm sure I'll be a little bit sore tomorrow, but go from there. So.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, we were fretting about it because we didn't know.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, he's on the injury report. He's not practicing, so.
And we didn't even know the actual injury right. until the week of the game.
Lower body. Right. You know? I mean, was it the lower leg, you know, whatever. Was it a hip flexor? Was it, you know, I mean, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, they could say lower leg, but it could be upper leg.
Yeah.
That's
something you see in the NHL.
Right.
You know, not like in football.
You were on it. Vic didn't have to disclose it in the preseason.
Right.
Exactly what it was. And
right.
so you're very generic with what you say. But so we didn't quite know what, it was just kind of came out of the blue. Like, we didn't see it happen in the game or anything like that. And it's like, oh, Noah's hurt too? What's going on there?
Right.
So that was, yeah, that was really good news that he was going to play. And he made it through the whole game. A-OK. So, but, you know, every time he got hit and tackled, I was watching this. Watch the knee. You know, let's see what happens. Does he get up? Is he favoring it? You saw his condition wasn't quite up to par. And that's what happens when you miss time and you're not on the practice field. That's one of the reasons why I hated missing practice. I felt like my conditioning took a big, big hit. Because all of a sudden, what are you doing? What are you doing as a player to keep your conditioning up? But really, all you do is practice. I mean, you're not going out there running 400s and, you know, doing all the stuff you did in the offseason to get your condition. All you do is practice. And so when you don't practice, and then you go out there and try to play on Sunday,
yep.
The conditioning is a big part of what really suffers. And for me, that was one reason why I didn't like to miss practices, because I felt like my conditioning really suffered. You saw that with him a little bit. But it was great to see him, and he played well.
He did play well. A lot of Broncos played well. A lot of Broncos played well. It's going to be interesting when we give our game ball in the last segment of the show. We're going to have to talk through, you know, the candidates.
Sure.
But this is a good problem.
Yeah,
this is a great problem to have. That's right.
When there's more than, you know, a couple candidates, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. What did you make of what else stuck out to you around the league yesterday? There was a lot going on yesterday.
I mean, I think I had maybe my worst week of King Super's pick'em.
Oh, really?
One of the worst weeks I've ever had. I mean, I looked up after the first round of games and I had 3 wins, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't know what I finished with, but I stopped, you know, whenever I start trending in the wrong direction, I just don't even look.
Yeah, you just tune it out.
Just take my L, pay my debts, and just try to, you know, regroup for next week. You know, you look at the Dolphins and the Patriots. That was a really good game that came down to the end. Steelers going into Buffalo.
Man.
Buffalo had, you know, they were rolling early, 10-0. Steelers couldn't do anything.
But I'll say this. The Bills weren't really rolling. I watched every play of that game. They had 2 left feet on offense. They were just bad.
Yeah, but they were up 10-0.
They were.
But it was 10-0 at halftime.
Yep.
Pittsburgh had nothing going.
Yep.
But you're right. I mean, Buffalo wasn't the Buffalo offense of last year, because
no.
If that was last year, they're up 20-something-0 at halftime.
That's right.
It's over.
That's right. That's right. And their biggest play of the first half was Isaiah McKenzie's return on the initial kickoff that, you know, they kind of worked their way down for the touchdown. But I mean, it was, they got out executed for 4 quarters. Josh Allen was dirting balls and overthrowing guys, and he did not look like the guy from a year ago. What the Eagles did, Jalen Hurts.
See, I picked the Falcons. Remember? I picked the Falcons, and I said, I can't believe I'm going to pick the Falcons, but I went with them. Never again. I can't stand the Falcons.
They are so freaking soft. That football team is, like, you can talk about the skill position players and whatnot, but that football team does not have substance to it. They got just outworked for 4 quarters. Jalen Hurts, 264 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I did not think that I'd see that out of Jalen Hurts at any point.
I'll raise my hand. I'm with you, right? I didn't either. Now, we'll see if he can continue it. But, you know, that was on the road. So,
that's a big,
like, hats off to him. I mean,
and Nick Sirianni, who we've had a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
And we're going to have
good old Nick.
Play rock, paper, scissors. See how competitive you are. Like,
come on, dude.
Right. Rock, what paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. We're going to have systems.
But we've had a lot of fun with them, Bay. You start your career going on the road, 32-6. That was impressive. The
Cleveland.
Vikings-Bengals game was entertaining. How about Cleveland, man?
Cleveland.
They
blowing
had it.
It.
They
blowing
had it.
It. Punter. What's the punter doing? I want to talk about that coach. Did you see that?
Yes, yes, yes.
I want to talk about that.
I saw you going after him on Twitter. We will circle back to that. How about the Cardinals going into Tennessee and winning 38-13?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Coach Vance, he's back.
Vance is going to get another opportunity.
He's back.
Vance is going to get another opportunity.
We're back.
We're back. There he is, baby.
Kyler Murray, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. I mean, he was tremendous.
Chargers, division game. You know, watching those Chargers play, Justin Herbert. All right. You know, hey, can you run it back again in year two? He had a couple mistakes there, but man, whoo, he looked like he's not taking a step back. And that Chargers team going cross country, playing a really good Washington team and beating them. That's a big win for them.
No question about it. Justin Herbert was 337 yards through the air. Touchdown, did have a pick, but yeah, that's a good football team. We can talk about them a little bit later down the road here. All right, what did we make of the two-headed monster in the backfield? Take a dive into it coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What do we make of the new two-headed monster in the backfield? Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon springing one late. 70 to the crib. But I'll tell you this. If you told me that in game number one, week number one, Javonte Williams was going to get more carries than Melvin Gordon, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the gate, Javonte Williams, 14 carries, Melvin Gordon, 11.
Yeah, I would have told you crazy, too. That's why I wagered on the over. Had the over, 12.5.
That would have seemed like a layup.
Thought it was.
Playing with a lead, too?
Had the lead. Oh. Everything was perfect.
Oh.
And then every time I looked up, Javonte Williams was in the game. He was in the game every time. It's like, what? I didn't get it, but that just tells you they trust him.
Yep.
They really trust him a lot. Because I thought it was going to be an 80-20, 75-25.
Same.
Look, I did the research a couple years ago on Pat Shurmur. He uses one guy, bell cow. Remember that research I did? Why you look confused? Remember that? He uses one guy. That's the way he rolls. That's the way he operates. Hours on that. Hours digging through intel and info and crunching those numbers for our listeners.
It's science.
But that's right. What Pat Shurmur does, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, we saw last year was odd and different because of Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. It just was odd.
Yeah.
But I thought this year they would get back to that early, especially early in the season. But no. I thought for 99% of the game, Javonte Williams looked better than Melvin. If I had to pick one,
I thought so too.
I wouldn't say either one of them looked like really good. I mean, they're playing a good defense. There wasn't much to get there. But if I had to give, like, this guy is running a little bit better, I would have said Javonte Williams. And I'm back there like, hand the ball off, Pat. I need over 12.5 here.
Well, I'll tell you this.
And then he hit the big one.
I agree with you.
Which was actually a killer for me.
It was.
I just needed a first down.
Yeah.
And then the over was going to hit.
What's interesting is that, like, you look at the final box score, right? Melvin Gordon has 101 yards, a touchdown. But if you take away that 70-yard run, and of course you can't, and we don't want
let's
to
not
take
play
it
that
away.
Game, though.
Hold on.
I'm going to play along for a little bit, Zach.
We're just having a conversation, and it's actually to your point.
Okay.
All right? If you take away the 70-yard run from Gordon, Gordon averaged 3 yards per carry. Three yards per carry. That's it. Javonte Williams averaged 3.2. But to your point, neither guy was really getting it going. But I'll say this. There wasn't negative plays. Even though there weren't like those pop chunk runs,
right.
They were runs for 6 yards followed by two. You get seven, and these guys weren't.
There wasn't many of those sevens in there. It was a lot of threes and twos and threes, but not negative plays.
They weren't negative plays,
right.
And it put the Broncos just in a better
That's
position
right.
on second down. It was second and seven. It was just manageable the whole game.
Yes, I'm not going to lie. I thought the running game would be better than what I saw yesterday.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
I give credit to the Giants. You're playing on the road. It's tougher to run on the road. But I just really thought that this running game would look better than what I saw. I'm not taking away that 70-yarder from Melvin. I know you're not either. That was awesome block. You go back and watch those two tight ends block.
Saubert.
Yes.
Took old boy and just moved him.
And I think it was Albert O. Albert O had a nice block on there also. But, you know, and a great cutback by Melvin Gordon. So that was, and then he finished it off in the end zone, which is, you know, 70-yard run in the NFL is not.
That's really hard.
That's not an easy thing to do. So that was kind of the nail in the coffin there. But I really thought overall, when you put it all together and look at it, I thought I would see better production from the running game.
You know what? I agree with you. I didn't really stop and think about it, to be honest. And, you know, that 70-yarder, it kind of masks some of those shortcomings.
Sure. And we'll take that every week.
Yeah.
And we're not complaining about that, but, you know.
I went back.
Here's the thing. Consistency is key, you know, and it just wasn't consistent enough. They didn't have any negative, but it was more 2-3 yard gains. I mean, I want to see that five. I want second and four.
Sure.
And it was always second and seven, second and, you know, just that consistency.
Better than second and 11.
But my expectations were high for this running game.
Sure.
You know, I'm not knocking it. It was fine. But look, the bar was raised. It's like for the defense, the bar's raised. And the bar's raised for this offensive line. The bar's raised for the running game. And it wasn't to what I thought it would be. So, first game, there you go.
I went back and looked. That 70-yard touchdown from Melvin Gordon yesterday is the second longest play in his career. So, pretty nice way to start this season for Melvin. This running game, to your point, it's got some ways to go. It's got some ways to go. We'll see if they can get there.
But I like both of these. I mean, Javonte Williams, I mean, I like the fact that they played him a lot. I wish I would have known before, obviously. Because that did sting. It was a little stinger there. Because, I mean, halfway through the game in the third quarter, I thought I was gonna, you know, way it was going, it was gonna cash, and it was a sting. You know, when you kind of start thinking you got it,
yeah,
it stings more.
Start counting that money in your head,
right? Yeah, it stings more, right?
It was a lot of stinging going around in my life. Like I went through a bumblebee patch this weekend.
It was a tough weekend, man. Yeah. I mean, a lot of things, you know, the can't miss parlay just whiffed, right? You know, it happens.
It does happen
if you've been around the block long enough.
Richie did well.
Just starting.
Richie ordered our coffees today.
Yeah, well, I got my own coffee, but he got me the nice licorice. Oh, there you go, Richie.
You got your licorice?
Yes, but it's not just the thin. Like this is the like Australian licorice. It's got a kangaroo on it, Wally Wallaby, soft and chewy, classic red. Oh,
best licorice ever, without a doubt.
Right, I'm not a licorice person, but superb. Just telling you. So, but I love the fact that they did give Javonte, and they do trust him. Third down, he's in. I thought Melvin Gordon was a third down back. He catches the ball good. Every time I looked up, it's Javonte Williams. Smart protections. Yep. I mean, that's what backs do on third down. You got to be able to protect all these exotic blitzes coming. I didn't see him miss one. I saw him slide over one time, get a blitzing guy.
Yep.
So the guy's smart.
Vic Fangio said 2 weeks ago, he said, we trust him in all situations. That's what he said about a rookie who's never played a down of NFL football.
Yeah.
We trust him in all situations.
Just tells you how smart he is. How on top of it he is. It's impressive. So I like how they're using these guys. I thought it would be more one guy, more Melvin early on. But it seems to be working. Seems to be working a lot better than last year.
That's exactly right.
Because Melvin knows he's the guy, right? He knows he's the guy. I mean, he's the starter. So I think last year you had the Philip Lindsay camp, right? I mean, it was kind of awkward for everyone.
Yeah.
I think that's where the issues came. This year, like, he's Javonte Williams, we'll spell him, but he knows he's the starter.
Was there a welcome to the NFL moment yesterday, or does the blame lie elsewhere? That's next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Was there a welcome to the NFL moment yesterday? Or does blame lie somewhere else? Talking about our guy, PS2.
Oh.
It's a really cool nickname, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
PS2, Pat Surtain Jr.
Yeah.
Playing on the old console.
Yep.
I had that PS2. Pat Surtain was burnt for a touchdown by Sterling Shepard there in that first half crossing route that made the game 7-3 Giants.
Yeah.
What'd you see on that play, Stope?
Well, crossing route coming from the right to left, just running an over route, you know, going, you know, 10 yards over the middle and then crossing over to about 18 is kind of all it is. And he just, like Vic said, you know, we heard Vic earlier, but he can't give that much cushion. Once you see that guy starting to go over the middle, you just can't expect that, you know what, you're going to just catch him by staying off of him 7-8 yards. I mean, you got to close that cushion right away once you see him take that inside release. Rookie mistake, hopefully. Learn from it, grow from it. You're going to have him. I don't care. All the rave reviews, this, that, from camp, and, you know, you're going to have rookie mistakes. So it's always better when it happens in a win, right?
Of course.
I don't think you'll see that mistake again from him. Very smart football player. So I don't think you'll see that again from Pat Surtain. So, you know, he's just got to close the cushion. And then guess what? Just make the stinking tackle.
Right.
Right? Don't make a bad play worse. Make the tackle. And with this defense, the Giants weren't getting in. Got to kick a field goal. But you got to make the tackle. So you can't compound one error with another error, and that's what he did. It was an all-around bad play. Not only did he have awful coverage, he, you know, whiffed on the tackle. So certainly a learning lesson from him, and it won't be the last one this year.
Right.
But, you know, it stinks that it was Vic told us that they had a plan in place to have him out there as a outside corner, and that was his series, that he was an outside corner.
Right.
And Right away, you know, it's a touchdown. So it wasn't like he was playing outside the whole game. He was out there that one series, and that was it, touchdown. And they had that plan in place.
Out of 61 defensive snaps yesterday, Pat Surtain played 16.
Okay.
You know how many played after that mistake?
How many?
Zero.
Wow. This is, you know, you're not on scholarship. People's jobs are on the line. Do you trust them? Do you not trust them? It goes a long way here,
yep.
Right? If you're a rookie,
yep.
If you're a rookie, it doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't think you have potential. But potential gets a lot of people fired. And right now, Vic's trying to win games. He needed to win this game. And so who are you going to go with? You're going to go with Fuller? You're going to go with Fuller, Callahan, and Darby, veteran players that you trust? Or are you going to go with a rookie where you're like, what are you doing, man? Like, you know, we haven't seen that from y'all at camp. No, you're going to go with the veteran football players out there that you trust. And certainly Vic trusts Fuller. Even though he did get beat, you know, on the deep one.
Yeah, he didn't play great. He also had the defensive pass interference.
Which one was that?
I think it was in the second.
Okay, Darby had one. Did Fuller have one too?
I believe so.
Okay, I'm trying to recall which one when that happened.
Hopefully, I'm not mistaken. That I believe he had a DPI.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Regardless.
Yeah. That just shows you what's at stake here, and how important trust is. And I mean, look, if this was Vic's first year, you operate differently. Okay, whatever. Let's let him have some growing pains. Let's let him go out there. He's our future. But not this year.
Right.
You know, hey, I got to win football games. So, Pat Surtain, either you get up to speed, but there's no, like, grace period here for these rookies and these young football players.
Nope. Everything matters.
Yep.
Everything matters. Is there some culpability from A.J. Johnson there? Who, you know, on the call I heard Stink say, hey, he got sucked too far into the line of scrimmage. He's got to have better depth. Maybe Sterling Shepard makes the catch, but A.J. Johnson is there too. Alexander Johnson is there to make the tackle.
Tell Stink to worry about the offensive line. I'll handle the receivers and the cornerbacks.
We don't even got to be talking about Aaron Rodgers.
No, if we just smear him, we're going to smear him. Still day 23, smear number two today.
Man, he did a great job on that call, didn't he?
He did.
He was on point.
Yeah, he was. Really good.
And a part of why I like Stink on the call is, like, he doesn't try to be something he's not. He doesn't try to be, like, too buttoned up. Like, on the one play, he's like, dude, look at that. You know, and I'm sitting next to someone at the Superbook up there at the Lodge Casino. Shout out those guys. Oh, my gosh. You know what a fun place to watch games? Good heavens. Be careful of those tables that night before.
Yeah?
You got a bad 5 minutes on the roulette table?
Yeah. Well, first of all, why are you playing roulette? Worst game to play. Worst game to play. What? It's the most boring, worst. You heard. I didn't stutter. It's the worst
game
to play. You got some friends. You play craps.
I see. I don't know how to play craps.
I can teach you. It's not hard. But
it looks fun.
That is, especially if you got a group of buddies, that's the most fun game to play. You're throwing the dice and, you know,
yeah, it's interactive. 11. Yeah, it's like interactive.
Yes, it's a really fun game to play. Now, you can lose a lot of money quickly in that one also. right. You know, you start putting it on the numbers and then it's like, you know, seven out. And it's like, wait, I just put all my money out there. It happens. I love craps. I can't play blackjack anymore.
Okay.
Can't play. I mean, just because I get too frustrated. And then when I get frustrated, I start betting more, and I never win. It's like a slippery slope.
Right.
But I know what I'm doing. I just can't stop myself.
Right.
So I just say, it's better not to play it. But roulette, I can't. That little thing bounces around there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for it to stop, and I'm like, oh, I won. No, wait, what is it? Red, black, what? I can't do it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You walk through a casino at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You see some miserable faces,
yeah,
man.
Trying to get it back.
I drew a line.
All right, this is what I'm willing to lose.
And after that, you
There's
guys
not
can
a lot
have
of people
fun.
Like that, though.
I'll tell you what, take some willpower.
Yes.
It was only two trips to the ATM.
Right.
That third, I wasn't hitting that third, that $4 charge. It just wasn't going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You got to love it.
Oh, man.
Got to love it. Oh, that's good. I'm glad y'all had a good time up there.
Hey, just to pass along some news here that is currently breaking right now. It looks like San Francisco running back Raheem Mostert being put on IR about 8 weeks.
That was one of my picks this year in fantasy that I picked up.
And
I put him in the lineup instead of Debo Samuel. Debo had 31 points. He had 5. I would have won. I'm going to lose. First week, it's just not. It wasn't a good week. wasn't a good week for me. So we'll see. Hopefully, I can bounce back.
You had one of those faces I saw at 1:38 in the morning down there on the slots.
Yeah. Not only did Melvin Gordon end up 1.5 short of the carries, you know, my fantasy team didn't do good. So it's like, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Oh,
I did own a few things though. Couple starting quarterbacks that I kind of highlighted early in the process.
Oh, look at you!
But I think, you know, when you look at Surtain, I mean, he's going to have to earn his coach's trust. And, you know, it's we'll see. But, he, like Vic said, look, he's too talented.
Yeah.
We're going to get him out there and play him. So we'll see what it looks like moving forward.
All right.
But he can't keep making those mistakes or he won't be able to be out there. They won't put him out there.
Right.
All right. Did Vic Fangio get back into Broncos country's good graces? Take a dive into it coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Did Vic Fangio get back into the good graces of Broncos country? Who better to ask that question than the one and the only from DenverFan.com out of the red corner, James Merrillat. What's up, James?
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Are we really asking that question today? That's a serious notion. Did all of a sudden Vic Fangio, now that he's above 500 for the first time in his head coaching career, all is forgiven and we're good to go?
No, James, look, hey, what James. Have you done for me lately? I don't really, you know, it's not what you did the last 2 years, James.
Oh,
it's,
we did hold that against Drew Locke, but we're not holding it against
what have
Fangio.
You,
okay,
what have you done? Oh, you're still on that camp, huh? You still want to go down that road? I didn't teach you a lesson with the first couple spankings?
I'm just making sure you need some more weapons?
I mean, usually, you know, I learned my lesson after the first one.
And who were not forgiven here, because, you know, it's been a while since I've, you know, we've broken out the Little League Moms scorebook, so I just wanted to make sure I understood the rules. That's all.
Well, I think when you look at it, James, and it's not just that he started 1-0, but it's how he handled himself in the game.
Yeah.
And it worked. You know, for me, it's like, okay, maybe I'm going to see because I'm with you. It hadn't been good enough from Vic, but at the same time, I'm going to watch this year and see if he has grown and gotten better and improved in certain areas and making, you know, different decisions. And I mean, like, you couldn't get better than what he did yesterday.
No, I'm with you. I have no problem with anything he did yesterday. I thought the Broncos looked ready to go. They were buttoned up. They didn't have a bunch of mental mistakes. There weren't clock management issues. There just weren't the problems that have plagued this team during the first 2 years of the Vic Fangio era. So, there was nothing to complain about yesterday, really, in general. But when it came to the head coach, I didn't have any issues. And, you know, his defense was really, really good. The big part to me, though, that they were able to do, last year it was the issue they just couldn't force turnovers. They couldn't make any big plays. And on a team where the vast majority of the money is spent on that side of the ball, they have to be the playmakers to some extent. And you do that defensively by forcing turnovers. And they just didn't get it done enough last year. They only had the one yesterday, but man, was it a big one. Because if the Giants go in there and score, all of a sudden that thing becomes a one-score game. And you start thinking, oh, here we go again. But they get the Daniel Jones fumble. And then after that, the Giants really never threatened. I mean, they got the garbage time touchdown right at the end. I thought Vic was good. And look, to be honest with you guys, I will say, you know, is all forgiven for me? No. Am I still skeptical? Absolutely. But I'm open to the possibility that Vic could turn this thing around and could get better at his job. I certainly would hope that he would. So as I wrote about today, DenverFan.com, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I throw that first word in there ahead of optimistic intentionally. I think we gotta look at this and say, hey, we saw VJ start some years pretty good. Mm-hmm. We saw Trevor Siemian start some years pretty good. It's certainly not a bad thing. It's certainly promising. It certainly looks like, hey, maybe this year could be different, and then fingers crossed. I'm not gonna, you know, start figuring out, well, does Teddy Bridgewater's name go between Billy Thompson and Goose Gonsolin in the Ring of Fame, or where are we putting it? I'm not quite there yet.
I mean, James, you're spot on. I asked the question because, you know, when I say good graces, it doesn't mean all else is forgiven. It's like if you had a problem with, you know, a coworker repeatedly, and then, you know, one day they brought you lunch. You might look at it and say, huh. You know, I appreciate that. I'm going to keep an eye on this one. It's kind of like that. Like, no one's crowning Vic. I would hope not. Because there's a 2-year body of work that is putrid. And he's going to have to go above and beyond this year to undo some of that, or have us, you know, forget about some of the sins of the past. But I will say this. Yesterday, I thought was that, that delivery of lunch. You're just like, okay, I'm going to monitor this one.
Yeah, I know. And I think that's a great analogy. Because it at least kind of opens that door of, all right, maybe we can have a second chapter here, right? Maybe we can let, you know, bygones be bygones and turn the page and whatever other cliche I can throw into this. I think it does sort of create that. I thought Vic did a really good job of handling the game. Look, the fourth down's got a lot of talk and a lot of conversation and, oh, see, he's going to really do this. He talked about it today in his press conference, and when he talked about how the Ravens, how it burned them a couple of years ago when they didn't get those fourth downs, like, I don't think he's going to be Riverboat Vic all the time, but I think he was smart yesterday in looking at it and saying, look, this Giants offense is terrible. My defense should be able to stop them. So if we don't get this, okay, I'll rely on my guys. I think it was the right place, the right time to take those gambles because it's, you know, it's not like Daniel Jones is the guy that's going to make it blow up in his face. So I thought it was very smart. I thought it was very astute. Those are two words I never thought I would use with Vic Fangio, but it was good. I liked what he did. The decisions obviously were huge. They kept scoring drives alive. Teddy Bridgewater was awesome on those plays. I mean, his fourth down touchdown to Albert O, which, you know, look, the Albert O made a great play to get into the end zone, but I think the vast majority of quarterbacks in the league, certainly guys we've seen here the last 5 years, get sacked on that play. So tip of the cap to Teddy Bridgewater. I thought he was really, really good throughout the game. I thought he was great in key moments, and that was on third down and certainly on fourth downs.
Well, James, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, your thoughts overall on Teddy Bridgewater. And how about, to me, I thought the play, not the play of the game, but his most spectacular play was the one where he stiff-armed the guy. It looked like he almost grabbed his face mask, escaped right, and then he stiff-armed another guy and got away from it, threw it back across his body. I believe it was third down to K.J. Hamler. Hamler went up and made a great catch, all while, you know, a guy was, you know, coming to hit him in the mouth, it looked like, Teddy. So overall, I mean, obviously Teddy played really good. Just your thoughts on him making plays like that. That was what everybody told me. That was what Drew does. You know, Teddy can't make those types of plays.
That's the part that shocked me, Stoke. You know, when he had the stretch there at the end of the first half where he completed 11 straight passes, that didn't surprise me, right? Like, he's just kind of doing what he does. And, you know, and it wasn't dink and dunk, but it wasn't like he was firing him 30 yards downfield. He was just taking what they were giving him, throwing the ball accurately. Like, that part didn't surprise me. But the touchdown to Albert O that I talked about, the first down, the third down throw that got the first down that you just talked about, those were the things that really, really shocked me because those were drive extenders that we just, you know, haven't seen from Teddy Bridgewater a lot. We certainly didn't expect those because those aren't the things you get from the safe quarterback, right? The rolling to your right, throwing it back across your body. And that's a very dangerous throw. That is a high-risk throw. He pulled it off, so I'm not going to, call him out for it by any means. So that was very surprising to me. But I just like the way he handled the game in general. Like, he just is out there, and he's calm. And I think a lot of times people take that as, you know, disinterested or passive. And, you know, he's not fiery like Tom Brady yelling at guys and things like that. But man, it just sort of seemed like that's what this team needed, was just a guy that was in charge, wasn't overwhelmed. He looked really, really good yesterday. I had zero fault with it. Now, I do think that they're living a little dangerously, right? Like, how many times are you going to be able to convert on third and six where you have to stiff arm two guys and then throw the ball back across your body? How many times are you going to have to extend drives with fourth downs? Like, that's not a recipe that you're going to be able to repeat week after week after week after week. But hey, if you can get away with it a little bit early here until things get rolling, and you kind of get on track, that's fine. I didn't expect perfection in week one. But I'll tell you what, Teddy Bridgewater yesterday, he was pretty darn close to perfect. He surprised me in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, you speak for, I think, a majority of Broncos country, really. And that was, as, you know, I heard Evans use the phrase this morning, it was a blueprint game for the Broncos. I like the way that he phrased that because I think you could reduce that to Teddy too. That was a blueprint game for Teddy Bridgewater. Like, Teddy's never going to be the guy that's going to throw four or five touchdowns. That's just not who he is. And if we ever see it, it'll be an anomaly. But yesterday, going 28 of 36, 264 yards, two touchdowns, didn't turn it over. Even the times that he was sacked, really, he didn't make a bad play worse. And I thought that, like, James, if the Broncos had gotten quarterback play that competent these last couple of years, there's no way Denver would have fell to the depths that they had fallen here in the last four seasons.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And we talked about it last week, you know, when Vic Fangio made his comments about how there's, you know, not a quarterback drought anymore and there's a lot of guys you can win with. The way Teddy Bridgewater played yesterday, yeah, you can win with that. And you can probably win more often than not with that. Are you going to win big? Are you going to contend? You know, if he plays like that every week, probably. But I don't, you know, I think that remains to be seen if he can pull that off, if he can do that. I do think, though, there are a couple of things offensively that they do need to clean up, right? Like, as good as he played in the first half, I mean, we're, you know, almost to halftime and they still had 3 points. How familiar was that, right? Where it's just like, man, they're moving the ball, they're making plays, and they just can't score. So that pattern was there for at least almost half the game. That's concerning. I know Melvin Gordon had the 70-yard touchdown run, and you can't take that out. But if you do take that out, because it kind of came in garbage time, at that point, once the Giants got stopped, the game was virtually over. They averaged 3.1 yards a carry, both Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. They're going to have to run the football better than that. If they're going to rely on Teddy Bridgewater to throw it 36 times and he's going to be the vast majority of their offense, I think that is a concern. But I love the way he, you know, he threw it around, got a lot of guys involved. Noah Fant was a big part of the game plan, and it wasn't one of those games where you saw him in the first half and then he disappeared in the second half. I thought he was really, really good. I thought Tim Patrick looked great, and they're going to need him now because, you know, with Jerry Jeudy out a month and a half. So
just stop it, James.
Lots of positives.
And KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Long Island, Denver.
Dang it.
James, you fumbled it again. Holy, it's just not your day. It's not your week. I mean, Teddy balls out. I mean, wow.
Well, when I got thrown the curveball there, I really thought like, oh, am I doing something wrong here?
I don't know why Zach did that.
I should have known better.
I thought you were purposefully, dude.
It was like the longest answer ever.
A minute and a half.
It was like the longest answer ever.
And you just started bouncing around the different topics, and I'm like, oh, he's clearly trying to stretch this out.
No, I was.
He was just giving a long answer.
That's exactly what I was doing, and then I got thrown the curveball. Like, oh, you know, I don't want to come on here and mess things up.
Last one, James. Von Miller. What'd you make of it?
I thought Vaughn was great yesterday. And look, the two sacks obviously kind of jump out and you look at that and say, hey, that's Von Miller being the Von Miller of old. But I thought the play that Stink pointed out in the first half where Vaughn stretched the run all the way out to the sideline. And I don't even think he made the tackle. I think somebody else did, but he made the play. And then he had another one in the second half. To me, that was even more impressive because that was the kind of stuff we didn't see 2 years ago. Remember when we would have all those conversations of Vaughn's taking plays off?
Mm-hmm.
It was on moments like that, right? It was on running plays when he just would kind of look like he wasn't into it. He always would get after it on 3rd and 8 when it was time to try and get a sack. So seeing that out of Vaughn, I thought was really, really encouraging. So, you know, while I couldn't win the, you know, the top of the hour legal ID there, I do feel pretty good about, you know, finally about a steak dinner bet because my guy had two sacks and Zach's guy, you know, stood in street clothes.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that this morning. I really was. And, you know, we're game one here. So don't.
And how many games, but Chubb ain't passing up Vaughn. How many? It's not happening.
He's got to play 12 though.
He's got to play 12. See, I don't know why y'all put that in there. That's weak sauce.
It's just another fumble by me. I mean, it's just one fumble after another.
I know. Don't let Zach talk you into stuff like that. I mean, that's what he does.
He throwing me off.
Right. Yep.
You know, you got to be feeling good. Don't strain a muscle on a victory lap. We're 1 week into this thing. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't have a better start to that steak dinner bet. And just to reset it, this is pretty simple. I got Chubb having more sacks. You had Vaughn. This bet was made, I don't know, probably 2 months before the season ever started. The dynamics changed. The dynamic has completely changed. Chubb ruled out. It seems like he's had a setback following a late surgery. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, but I'm concerned. I really am with Bradley Chubb and he and Vaughn on the field together. Like, are we ever going to see these guys at the peak of their powers together on a Broncos team that wins? It feels like it was, you know, leading up to this year and, you know, obviously James getting off on a bad foot.
Yeah, we keep hearing about it, right? We keep getting kind of tantalized by the idea of it, but we just don't get to see it. I mean, under Vic Fangio, I think we've seen it for 3 games plus a quarter or so against the Jaguars back in 2019. So you want to see it. It's exciting. It sounds great. It looks good on paper, but I'm kind of at that point where it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. But guys, you know, look.
And I think Vic is, James. You could sense that last week from him. He's just like kind of fed up with it. It sounded like.
No doubt, no doubt. And we've had a lot of these conversations and a lot of these Mondays where, man, we got to come in here and it's break down some things that went wrong and here's the mistakes. It sure does feel good finally, especially in September, to do one where, hey, it's more positives than negatives. And even the big negative, the Jerry Jeudy injury, they caught a break there that he's going to be back before kids are trick-or-treating. I mean, that's huge news. So it's a good day in Broncos country. I'll put it that way.
All right, James. Thanks for dropping by, and we will check in with you maybe a little bit later in the week. But have yourself a rest of a good day.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot. I always enjoy it.
All right, there he goes, James Merrill at DenverFan.com. You can check out James' latest piece up there on the
tough
website.
Tough day for James.
Tough day.
I mean, tough day, tough right? Day. I mean, Vic shined, and so did Teddy.
Yep.
I mean, look.
And then he had the opportunity at the top of the right. hour.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah. I mean, just
he screwed
just,
it up.
Right. I mean,
as,
like,
as he does.
Right. I mean, he had a chance to kind of redeem himself there and at least get the station ID, and he just dropped the ball there, too. Just
drop the ball.
Yeah.
Don't play intramurals, brother.
Yeah, it's the big leagues, James. Big leagues, buddy.
It's the Big 12.
It'll never get old for me.
Never. Never.
Hey, how about this report, like, out of the blue, NFL Network insider Ian Rapoport reported on Saturday that the Broncos are still very much interested in making a run at Aaron Rodgers and putting in there that they would put together a massive package for the reigning MVP. This was, again, like out of nowhere before the first game of the NFL season. He's coming out with this report. Do we have some audio on that, James? Richie, sorry, I call you James. Okay.
I didn't see it at all. I didn't see it.
Okay.
To be honest with you,
I don't know who he talked to, right. But he felt confident enough to just kind of put that out there the day before
the season
started.
So the report was that the Broncos are still very much interested in Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, and
they're still interested in Aaron Rodgers after what he just did on Sunday.
Man, you talk about filed under things that you didn't see coming. That was about four or five.
Had the stinking Saints, and then you said, well, they're playing in Jacksonville, and I was like, yeah, you're right, and I changed to the stinking Packers, just dumb. I mean, just did dumb things all weekend.
You dumb messed up, A.A. Ron!
Rodgers, 15 of 28 for 133. If you told me a quarterback.
No touchdowns.
No touchdowns. Two interceptions. He had two picks and three throws after having, five all of last season? If you would have told me that a quarterback was going to go for 133 yards, no touchdowns, two picks in the Saints-Packers game, I would have thought that somehow Taysom Hill ended up out there. And
or Jameis went back to being Jameis.
Right. And instead, Jameis Winston throws not one, not two, not three, not four.
Not two, not three, not four.
Five touchdown passes in just 148 yards. It is the lowest total yards of all time for a quarterback to throw five touchdown passes.
Yeah, it was funny because I saw that stat and they were still playing. So I asked my son, I said, how many touchdowns has Jameis thrown? Do you think he's thrown? He's like, well, he's thrown four. I said, well, he just threw another one. I said, how many yards has he thrown for? And he just, I said, don't look. He said 300 or something. I said 148.
I mean,
that was it.
That is crazy. It's
crazy.
It's a one of.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Actually, crazy. I mean, I thought Jameis was their best option last year, and I went on record saying that Drew was done, and he could just throw the deep ball. Drew couldn't throw it last year, and you know they don't have Michael Thomas right now either. But we'll see how it plays out for Jameis. Obviously, it's just one game in, like here. But certainly, what a great start for him. I mean, to beat the Packers like they did.
I mean,
that defense was real.
Come on.
For the Saints, obviously they played great, but Jameis did what he had to do. And he might be a perfect fit for that offense. It might be perfect for him. He got to sit there a couple years or whatever it was, 1 year, and kind of take a deep breath.
A football rehab.
Yeah, so we'll see, you know, if he can continue that.
Yeah. Going back real quickly, I just want to bounce this audio off of you. I have not heard it, all right? But this is Ian Rapoport on the NFL Network on Saturday.
Let's take a look at two of the biggest storylines that dominated this offseason. First of all, things are good now with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers going along fine. Remember, they did listen to him on trading for his old friend Randall Cobb. That's something that Aaron Rodgers wanted. However, in this new contract that he negotiated to get back to training camp, they did agree to look at trade options after the season. I am told the Denver Broncos, who would have been interested this past offseason, remain interested and could try to trade for Rodgers, make a substantial offer after this season. They have not yet committed to a long-term quarterback.
All right. Just
well,
not what I expected 24 hours before kickoff.
No, but not surprising.
No.
Right? I mean,
nope.
It's not like, oh,
it's really not
Broncos,
new news.
Right. We don't have a quarterback of the future right now. Although if Teddy keeps playing like that, he is our quarterback of the future. So, like any of those guys, I think the Broncos would be interested in.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Kenny Mayne.
Yep.
But I will say this. Aaron Rodgers better start playing better. He got to play a lot better or no thank you. I mean, substantial package. Like, at a certain point, you're going to look at how old he is. You're going to look at what he produced this year, not 2 years ago. You know, when he won the MVP, you're going to look at this year. And so we'll see. But certainly, when you start stomping your feet and pouting and saying this and that because you have leverage, and then all of a sudden you come back and you play like that, you better back it up. You better back it up, Zach. And he didn't. And he played his worst game of his career. So it makes you think, like, is this guy in it? Like, you know, what's
head
going,
in it?
What's
it's
going on? What's going on there? But, you know, if you're the Denver Broncos, you're not going off what he did 2-3 years ago. I mean, that guy's got to go out there and perform this year. And I'm not saying it's going to be Teddy, Drew, whatever the case may be, but you don't give up a substantial package to get an aging quarterback that's not playing well.
I'll tell you this, too. And this
am I
is,
off?
Nope, you're not.
Okay.
And we're going to have to continue to monitor, see what it looks like.
Yeah, sure. It's one game.
It's
and
one
I'm, not,
game.
I'm expecting them to play well.
But
that's
why
I took
worst...
over on the touchdowns for him also. And
what number
and,
was that? Hold on, let me guess. Let me guess. 39.5.
No, I think it was 36.5.
Okay.
Brady was 36.5. He was right around there. I'm like, shoot, he threw 40-something last year in 16 games. This is 17 games. I mean, why is that number so low? And then he starts with zero.
Didn't see that coming.
No.
Didn't see that coming. And I just want to say this, just from a, I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm sure he'll throw 6 touchdowns next week.
I need it.
But my eyes, forget how he played. Looking at Aaron Rodgers, he looks like he got like significantly older. Did you see the picture, like the video of him after the game?
No.
He looks old. And again, you know, go back.
Well,
and
the hair and everything else. I see when I saw him playing in that golf thing, I'm like, this guy doesn't look like he wants to play quarterback anymore. He looked like, you know, got the long hair, just kind of was like, you know, it just didn't look the same. And that's what you saw. I mean, that same.
He looks old to me, like in the face. He
it
looks
happens
old.
Quick.
Yeah,
trust me, I know.
Look, I'm not saying this is not a sweeping indictment about Aaron Rodgers at all.
You're down on Rodgers. He's done.
Look.
That's what you said.
I mean, he threw for 133 yards, no touchdowns, and had 2 picks.
It's the NFL.
His QBR was a 13.
Oof.
I mean.
Who would have thought that Aaron Rodgers would have done that first game of the season?
I
remember when he came here and the Broncos put a shellacking on. That Broncos defense gave it to him in a big way. This was during Peyton's, I don't know what year it was, if it was
13 or 14,
what year exactly was, but the Broncos defense just whipped him. And he looked awful then. So, but it happens. It happens to guys. Brady's had awful games,
oh, yeah.
You know, where it's just looked like he's done.
Yeah.
That 10 years ago, they're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, Brady's done.
Yeah,
played
yeah,
a bad
yeah.
one against Cincy.
Yeah,
yeah, he's done.
That's right.
I mean, so it happens. And sometimes it's a good thing to really humble you. You know, he doesn't want to go out there and lay a stinker this year. It's the last thing he wants to do.
Of course.
Right? I mean, you know, because you look really bad when you did all that this offseason, and then you come out and you don't perform. So that's the last thing he wants to do. So sometimes a good butt whipping early gets you refocused, and that might be the best thing for him.
You know who the Packers have next?
No, I don't.
The Lions.
That's get right game.
You know what the game is?
Let's get right.
Monday Night Football.
Oh.
I promise you.
6 of them?
Whatever the props are.
Yeah, over.
All right.
Man, you see that Broncos line, too? I didn't jump on it quick enough. Gosh,
wait, hold on. I did not see this. Hold on, let me guess it. On the road in Broncos minus 6.5?
Six. Remember you told me a couple last.
It was like two.
And I was like, what? That's it?
Yep.
Hammer. But I didn't hammer. Didn't even get it in. And now it's six.
Mm.
Might be 6.5. This was yesterday. Last night late.
All right. Two young Broncos were boom or bust yesterday. We'll tell you who they were and what do we make of it coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.